Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Is it too late in the year to say Happy New Year? So this is my first opportunity to speak in 2019. So as you may remember, over the last 4 years, instead of doing a New Year's resolution, I've chosen a word for the year. So I'm not as brave as Uncle Bill, and I don't have $20. But who can remind me, who remembers any one of my three words so far? Leadership is one of them. That's pretty close. It starts with an S and sounds like it's surrender. A little disappointed that my wife doesn't know them. And the good news is, good, I'm glad you remembered because I just forgot. I can't be mad at you if I don't remember. So in my words so far have been surrender, leadership, and purpose. And in 2019, the word I've chosen is edification. One of the reasons I chose that word was I was really encouraged with the outpouring of support and love that I experienced and that we experienced or got to be a part of after Hurricane Florence. It was really encouraging to me to see the number of friends and family and believers around the world that really kind of wanted to help in whatever way possible. The chapel received checks from foundations that we weren't even really familiar with or even knew that they knew who we were. We've got calls and letters from people from virtually all over the country, just looking for ways to help us rebuild. So that really kind of got my mind thinking about that whole idea of building up or encouraging. So I thought I'd spend 2019 focusing on the word edification. So let's take a look and see what Google says, because we know that's the first place we go when we want to know anything. Google says that edification is the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. Now, if you're a little bit older, you wouldn't have gone to Google. You would have gone to a dictionary and looked it up. Matter of fact, I always had this pet peeve when I couldn't spell a word and somebody would say, look it up. Here's my question. How do you look something up in the dictionary if you don't know how to spell it? It's in spelling order. Anyway, that was just a side note. But here's what Miriam says. To instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. Here are some synonyms. Uplift, improve, educate, build, enlighten, inspire, and nurture. So a couple years ago, we had the opportunity to go through a spiritual gifts class for Sunday school. And we spent several months going through this book, and we really focused on what the spiritual gifts were and how to implement those. So today we're going to take a look at what the results of those spiritual gifts are, which I think is going to lead us to our point today, which is to build each other up. So as I went back, I thought, let's take a few minutes and let's go back and read the passages. There's four main passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. Right. And so as I reread those, I found two things that were interesting. One, they all talk about gifts, but there's two other things that each one of those four passages bring out. And the first one is edification, and the second is love. So this morning, we're really going to be focusing on those two concepts and how they go together. But before we get into the gifts and where they came or how we use them, let's take a look and look back and see where gifts actually come from. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So some of you may know this is a prophecy or a passage from David in Psalm chapter 68. And it's really a picture of David looking forward to what we're going to talk about this morning. And it's in a picture of what would happen during the Old Testament time. So we're talking about 1,000 years, 700 years or so before Christ came. Anytime there was a battle, in some instances, the king would leave his throne room and come out and fight in the battle with his men. And as they would win the battle, they would bring all the spoils and the booty back to the town. Back to the city, and as they would enter into the city, and as the king was approaching his throne room, he would dispense, as he willed, the spoils of war to those who participated, to those who stayed back, to those who helped, and even to those who didn't, just based on his goodwill. This is the imagery that Paul is giving us here in Ephesians, and David was giving us in Psalm 68. When he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led a host of captives, that's us, and he gave gifts to men. This is summed up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so if you'd like to turn there, you can. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to read a prophecy that was 780 years before Jesus. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plague. O grave, I will be your destruction. So in Ephesians 4 and Psalm 68, we're seeing this imagery of the king leaving his throne room, coming down, participating in this battle, sometimes on the front line, being a part of the victory, and then celebrating the victory as he returns home by distributing the gifts, the spoils of the war, to those who belong to his city. Hosea predicted what the victory was for Jesus, and that's the victory over death. So as Jesus resurrected on the third day, as we'll read in just a moment in 1 Corinthians, and he returned to his throne room, Paul tells us here in Ephesians 4 that he distributes gifts amongst his people. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to God who gives us the victory over death and sin. How? Through Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not the point of our message this morning, but I would encourage you sometime today to go back and read the first sections above 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, when we read things like in verse 3, where it says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day. This is the victory that Christ won, and as he returns home to his throne, he distributes gifts. In this case, they are spiritual gifts to us as believers. So the rest of the morning, I want to take some time and look at A, what the gifts look like, and why we were given gifts. So please join me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But this morning, we're going to try something new. After this is over, you can tell me if it worked or not. And then I'll decide whether or not your opinion matters to me. And then we'll continue. So here's what I'd like to do. We're going to switch it up. Instead of you listening to me read, and then you're going to start daydreaming about what you're doing for lunch and how your brackets are messed up. Thanks, Daniel, for reminding me. Please take a minute and read to yourselves Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. So we're reading 11 through 16, but as you're reading, you are looking, what stands out to you? What do you think Paul is telling us that these gifts are for? And in just a minute, I'm going to call on you to share with me some words that kind of stand out. All right, so let's see how we did. So we just read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And there are some thoughts, some words. One of the reasons I thought of this activity is sometimes when you're reading from a specific translation, it might be confusing when you hear a different word. So don't be afraid to call out the word, even if it's just a translation, because I want to get a good picture of what this looks like. So just a volunteer or two. I'm not going to call on you yet, but feel free to just kind of shout out a word that you saw that you think might be some of the reasons why gifts were given to men. Good. So this is a little insight to sometimes the way I do a Bible study when there's a passage I want to take a look at. I try to wait and get into the deep parts of it. First, I like to take a 10-mile view. Is that what they call it when you're 10,000-foot view? What are the key words? What's the overall picture look like? Right, so we've got things like perfecting and growing. We've got building, which sometimes can mix with edification. We got equipping. We've got together, unity, speaking truth, and knowledge. So there's obviously some other words that could have come up as well, but I think we have a good base so far to build on. So let's take a look at verse 12. Verse 12 sums up. So verse 11 lists a few of the gifts, the complete list. You have to combine multiple sections, as we talked about in Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Peter. But 12 says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service, to build up the body of Christ. Right? So I thought it was super interesting that just kind of through the process of this activity, these two words kind of were combined as we called them out. Man, what a cool picture this is, that God's got a specific design, according to this, that he's going to give us gifts to equip us to help each other. This word edification or build that we see in verse 16 and in verse 12 is a combination of two words. It's a combination of the word house and the combination of the word build. And we see it a couple of different times in Scripture. Paul is actually kind of famous of taking two words and making words up. I think that's why he and I would have gotten along quite well. Except for maybe he spelled better than I did. So we look at the word built and house. We see it in Acts chapter 7, verse 47, when it says, when Luke is referring to Solomon building the temple. So that word is used there. And then we see it in Matthew 8, when Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. So this word can be used literally, and it can be used figuratively. So for my own purposes through 2019, my idea is to look at it from a figurative standpoint amongst us as a body. But before we leave the literal translation, we have a little activity to help us grasp what it looks like when we are building a house. Matter of fact, I think you all need to go back and reread Ephesians chapter 2, verse... I wrote it down, 19 through 22, because we struggled with that. But that's really what that passage that Ingemar spoke about last week is calling out, that we are in the process of building this body of Christ through his power. So here's our activity. Corey, if you could put on my PowerPoint for me. Whitney, if you don't mind killing my lights. Just wanted to kind of show you a quick glimpse into what is all done behind building a house. So I was kind enough to reach out to our resident architect. Thank you, Mr. Daniel Hill. And he shared this with me. This is called the critical path. So as a construction crew or a contracting crew is getting ready to embark upon building this house, they need what's called the critical path. And the critical path is basically just a schedule of who is going to show up at what time during the building process and what's expected from them according to what their role is and what time frame this needs to get done. So if you look, one of the first things, let's just do the second one, site demolition. We've got a specific time that should be done January the 14th through January the 19th. What can't happen until that's done? Anything else, right? This is the critical path. So as we scroll down, we see lots of different things like building the foundation, laying a slab. We see termite protection, wood framing, flashing, wall framing, sprinklers. Corey, can you scroll down just a little bit on this? We might lose it. If so, we got a good go. Sorry, already, right? So this shows it in two different ways. On the left side is kind of a chart or a list of dates and times and who's involved. But on the right side, you see kind of more of like a chronological chart. There's some dates at the top that are kind of hard to see, but we see mobilization happening on January the 7th. And if we were looking at our word of building up from a literal standpoint, this is what it looks like. EB, how did I do? Good. Because I just repeated everything Daniel told me. So if it was wrong, talk to Daniel. How many different people are involved in this process? A lot. Good answer. Great. You can kill the slide now and turn the lights back on for me. So we just took a look at what it looks like from a literal standpoint to do a literal building according to code in today's society here in Wilmington, North Carolina, according to BMH and McKinnon Creed, somebody. But man, how cool is this if we take a look at what we see from the literal and let's move it over to the figurative. This is exactly what's happening on us as bodies of believers. God has gifted us in specific skills, if you will. We'll use that term lightly. He's equipped us to help build each other up. Some of us are framers. Some of us are plumbers. Some of us are electricians. Some of us are carpenters. Some of us are the demolition crew. But what's important is that God has a critical path for each of us as we build ourselves and as we build his temple, the church. And each of us have a specific time where we can be more useful based on the gift that we have. What happens if the plumber shows up during mobilization? Right? The thing he is gifted in is now not going to be able to be used. Can he be helpful? I think he could be, but that's definitely not his gift or his talent or his skill. So as we go forward this morning and in 2019, I want us to keep that critical path in mind and be thinking about times of, hey, when can I be used? When might I be more specifically valuable in the building up of the body of Christ? So let's get into some specific things of what this looks like. And the first one is, how do we edify? How do we build up? What skill set do I need to bring to the table? Well, we find this in the same passage that we're in, which is in verse 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some of his evangelism, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work to the building up of the body of Christ. So as we've already mentioned, the first thing that we can do in helping edify is to use our gifts to build up the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 12, Paul tells us that our gifts are to be used for the common good. Now, you don't need to follow along. This is just going to be a quick 10,000-foot view. But we've already talked about the fact that 1 Corinthians 14, Romans 14, I messed that up, 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4 all talk about spiritual gifts. But we also mentioned this morning that they also talk about edification and love. Matter of fact, in Romans 12, it uses gifts, then love, then edification. After it lists the gifts, it says love without hypocrisy, be devoted to one another in love, give preference to one another in love, devoted to one another, continuing or building up in their needs. In 1 Corinthians 12, it uses gifts, then edification, then love. And I just read that verse just a moment ago, that our gifts are to be used for the common good, and that's building up. Let there be no division and care for one another. Matter of fact, if we take even a further step back, Paul takes a look at these three in a bigger picture, because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is about gifts. What's 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love. And then in chapter 14, he sets the tone for what church life looks like. So he devotes three chapters to this concept of gifts, love, and edification, or building each other up. 1 Peter 4 uses love, edification, and then gifts. And it starts by saying, serve one another, keep fervent in your love for one another, and be hospitable. And then as we just read in Ephesians chapter 4, it lists gifts and then edification. And then in a few minutes, we'll get to love. So what are the results of these gifts? If we're using our gifts and we're using them to build up, what should the result look like? Well, I appreciate that some of us have some of these words up here as well. But let's read in verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. We all attain to the unity of faith. So we've got unity, and to the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice it just doesn't say knowledge. It's knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. So we've got grown up to the measure of his stature or his fullness. So what's the purpose of using our gifts? What would you be attaining, or what's our goal? Unity in the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, growing or maturing to a man and to the measure of its fullness. Turn with me, you can keep your feet, your finger there in Ephesians, but turn with me to Romans chapter 1. It's just one verse, so if you're not up for it, you can hang tight. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. What's Paul's view of what gifts are outside of the time that he's sharing it with us? Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, strengthened, or built up. That is, that I may be encouraged together while among you, each of us by the other's faith, by yours and mine. So here's this picture Paul is giving us. Man, Paul desires, he longs for an opportunity to visit these believers and share his giftedness. So if he's the plumber, he is excited about showing up at your house and plumbing. Is that the right word? Doing plumbing work. Why? Because that's what God has gifted him. He's equipped him to do that specific thing. I think when we take a look at the way Paul views gifts, it shows us and encourages us or builds us up to share our own gifts with each other. And I hope as through 2019, I look for ways and I start to desire or long for ways to build each of us up, both together, your faith and my faith. So this morning, I want to take a look at a couple of different ways we can continue to edify. So the first one we saw was with our gifts. The second one is with love. Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. The proper working out of each individual part. So if we follow our critical path that God has set for each of us through our non-literal translation or example of building up, each of us has a specific part. And when that happens, and when we're following our proper working, it causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, remember earlier we talked about the word knowledge and how this really needs to be knowledge of God, because 1 Corinthians 8 tells us what about knowledge? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So making sure we understand that our edification is solely around the knowledge of God and not just knowledge in general, because knowledge in general can be a pitfall. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John 4, 7 through 10. I toyed with trying to sing this song this morning, but since I have friends from work, I decided that it wasn't appropriate to be singing in public, because then everybody at work would be making fun of me. Oh, by the way, this is the danger of inviting your friends to work. I left the room for 1 minute, and Mary King was back there talking to Michael and V, sorry to call you out, and she said, if you guys need to know any gossip about Lauren, I've known him for more than 40 years. All of a sudden, I've got people trying to tell stories about me to my friends, so be careful when you invite your coworkers. But let's take a look at what love comes from. Beloved, verse 7 of chapter 4, verse John, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. Why? To pay the price for our sin, to become the propitiation of our sin, to defeat sin. Remember the victory we talked about earlier this morning? This is the victory. Because Jesus came and left his throne to die on the cross and be born again, or to be raised again on the third day, He became propitiation for our sins. This is the victory that allowed him to, or bestowed upon us, our gifts. And now he gives us gifts. He equips us to help us do the job that he's given us. And we saw that at the end of verse 16, to build itself up in love. What's that love look like? What's that love mean? Philippians chapter 2 shows us a great example of Christ humbling himself, coming out of heaven to come to earth to die for us. So follow that example and you'll be where God wants us to be. Verse 19 of chapter 4, verse John says, we love because he first loved us. So the first way we can help build each other up is through our gifts. The second is demonstrating God's love through us to other people. The third one is through self-denial. You don't need to turn there. For the sake of time, we're going to just read these verses. But Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. So hopefully you heard that word edification. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. And there might be some times in my life where I need to deny some things that I want in order to help build up my neighbor. So who is our neighbor? Neighbor can be loosely defined as anybody you're really dealing with on a daily basis. Whether that be the person pulling out in front of me in traffic. Man, it's not the time for me to show love. He's going to get another four-letter word called the horn. Me, matter of fact, my daughter made fun of me a couple of days ago because somebody pulled out in front of me and I went to hit the horn and now my horn's broken. And she told me that's what I deserved. I forgot to tell you, the horn doesn't work for me. So we saw edification and self-denial in Romans chapter 15. We see building up and not tearing down in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians 13:10, it says, with the authority which the Lord gave me, Paul, for building up and not tearing down. Right. So sometimes I can remember in English class in the 11th grade, Mrs. Bremer, she would always ask us to write the word, write the definition, write any synonyms, and then write the opposite of what that word meant. And that was always the hardest for me. Because there wasn't a dictionary that you could go to that would be like the opposite of and then find the word. So I really struggled with that. But I think Paul gives us a great example of what building up looks like by giving us an example of what it doesn't look like. So for those of us that get confused on what building up might look like, maybe I can flip it and go, what does it mean to tear somebody down? And now all of a sudden I get some clear pictures of the word choice that I use. The language, the tone, maybe even some of the visual signs that I display. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says to edify with encouragement. Therefore, encourage, comfort one another, and build one another up as you are already doing. So he's encouraging the Thessalonians. They are already in the process of edifying each other or building each other up through words of encouragement. I've appreciated that this week. I've gotten a few phone calls, even a couple of text messages from some of you in the room this morning, just saying something simple like, hey, thanks for being prepared to speak this week or being ready to speak or on the schedule. I'm praying for you. Sometimes just a little word of encouragement can really go a long ways. Matter of fact, this morning we are part of one that I kind of want to shout out right now as a word of encouragement because it was a word of encouragement to me. Man, I really appreciated the fact that we had a prayer request that sounded somewhat urgent, and then immediately we spent some time in prayer. That was a simple word of encouragement for me that really took almost no effort. So I just wanted to thank you for that this morning. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says, we edify with our example. It says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in fear of the Lord in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. So Paul or Luke has given us examples in Acts of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. As Nate would say, where's that? Some area, that's right. So their reputation was going before them, and Luke is using their reputation as being peaceful and being built up to help encourage other believers in the same. So much like we saw this morning, we saw a great example of some simple words of encouragement, and now we've shared that as an example to all of us on how we can maybe do that in the weeks going forward. The last one for this morning is edify with your words. So let's go back to our text, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, 15. But speak truth in love, we are all to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of individual parts, causing the growth for the body, building up of itself in love. So we notice this section starts with the words, but speak truth in love. So one of the ways we can help edify is just the words that we choose to use. Man, what a cool story we've heard this morning. Our God leaves His throne and comes to the earth to fight a battle between or over death and sin. And as He returns back to His throne room victorious, He graciously distributes gifts to His believers, to those who follow Him. And He uses those gifts to equip us to do a job that He has a critical plan for us, a specific time and process for us that helps us help each other. We also took a look at several different ways that we can do that. Things like self-denial, building up and not tearing down, with love, with encouragement, with our examples, and with our words. So for the rest of the year in 2019, my plan is to go deeper into each of those 7 points that we just talked about. But this morning was really around the idea of just defining this word edification and getting ready to kind of embark in a journey in 2019 to see what God really desires from us as believers and helping each other get through life. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank You for an opportunity to read Your word. We pray that Your Spirit will empower the listeners and help them to have heard what You had for them and not what I said. Please encourage us throughout this week to find ways to help build each other up, whether that be through our words, our examples, our encouragement. Maybe that's through our gifts, or maybe that's from us denying ourselves to help build up our neighbors. It's in Your Son's name we ask. Amen.